We are celebrating today the third Sunday of the holy season of Lent. And through the readings from the sacred scripture, the Lord invites us to have trust and confidence in Him, because He is merciful God. He is ready to forgive. In this way, repenting of our sins, we prepare ourselves for the season of Feast of Easter.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Tormented by thirst, the people complained against Moses. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt?" they said. "Was it so that I should die of thirst, my children too, and my cattle?" Moses appealed to the Lord. "How am I to deal with these people?" he said. "A little more, and they will stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Take with you some of the elders of Israel and move on to the forefront of the people. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the river and go. I shall be standing before you there on the rock at Horeb. You must strike the rock, and water will flow from it for the people to drink." This is what Moses did in the sight of the elders of Israel. The place was named Massah and Meribah because of the grumbling of the sons of Israel, and because they put the Lord to the test by saying, "Is the Lord with us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Listen to His voice, harden not your hearts.
Oh, that today you will listen to His voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, ring out joy to the Lord, hail the rock who saves us. Let us come before Him giving thanks, with songs let us hail the Lord.
Oh, that today you will listen to His voice, harden not your heart.
The people belong to His pasture, the flock that is led by His hand.
Oh, that today you will listen to His voice, harden not your hearts.
Oh, that today you will listen to His voice, harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on that day at Massah in the desert, when your fathers put me to the test.
Oh, that today you would listen to His voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, that today you would listen to His voice, harden not your hearts.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, we are judged righteous and at peace with God. Since it is by faith and through Jesus that we have entered the state of grace, in which we can boast about
looking forward to God's glory. This hope is not deceptive because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. We were still helpless when at his appointed time Christ died for all sinful men. It is not easy to die for a good man. Though of course, for someone really worthy, a man might be prepared to die. But what proves that God loves us is that Christ died for us when we were still sinners. This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Saint John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to the Samaritan town called Sychar, near the land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired by the journey, sat straight down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "What? You are a Jew, and you ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? Jews, in fact, do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus said to her, "If you only knew what God is offering and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have been the one to ask, and he would have given you living water." "You have no bucket, sir," she answered, "and the well is deep. How could you get this living water? Are you a greater man than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus replied, "Whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again. But anyone who drinks the water that I shall give will never be thirsty again. The water that I shall give will turn into a spring inside him, welling up to eternal life." "Sir," said the woman, "give me some of that water so that I may never get thirsty and never have to come here again to draw water." "Go and call your husband," said Jesus to her, "and come back here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." He said to her, "You are right to say, 'I have no husband,' for although you have had five, and the one you have now is not your husband, you spoke the truth there. I see you are a prophet, sir," said the woman. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, while you say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation comes from the Jews. But the hour will come, in fact it is already here, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That is the kind of worshipper that the Father wants. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah, that's Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will tell us everything." "I, who am speaking to you," said Jesus, "I am he." At this point, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him speaking to a woman, though none of them asked, "What do you want from her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman put down her water jar and hurried back to the town to tell the people, "Come and see the man who has told me everything I ever did. I wonder if he is the Christ." This brought people out of the town and they started walking towards him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, do have something to eat." And he said, "I have food to eat that you do not know." So the disciples asked one another, "Has someone been bringing him food?" But Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of one who sent me and to complete his work. Have you not got the saying, 4 months and then the harvest? Well, I tell you, look around, see, look at the fields. Already they are white, ready for harvest. Already the reaper is being paid his wages. Already he is bringing in the grain for eternal life. And thus sower and reaper rejoice together. For here the proverb holds good. One sows, other reaps. I sent you to reap a harvest you had not worked for. Others worked for it, and you have come into the reward for their trouble." Many Samaritans of that town had believed in him on the strength of the woman's testimony when she said, "He told me all I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came up to him, they begged him to stay with them. He stayed for 2 days. When he spoke to them, many more came to believe. And they said to the woman, "Now we no longer believe because of what you told us. We have heard him ourselves, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we are celebrating the third Sunday of Lent, we have this beautiful incident that took place in the life of Jesus Christ. Perhaps it suits well today when we are preparing for the Feast of Easter, when we are in the midst of Lent. Summer is fast approaching and the climate is soaring. They said 36 centigrade, 37 centigrade. We do not know how far it will go. And we know from experience what happens when it's very hot around. We sweat. We feel thirsty. We get tired. We want rest. We seek a shelter. We want breeze, perhaps air condition, and whatnot. Somewhat similar condition was faced by Jesus Christ. The Jewish day begins at 6 a.m. and closes at 6 p.m. And this happened at 6th hour, which means at 12 noon. 12 noon, Jesus and his apostles were moving, traveling through Samaritan town, and Jesus was tired. He was thirsty, actually thirsty. He wanted to take rest. And the apostles were not only tired, were also hungry, went in search of food. Then happens an incident which apparently seems to be casual, but Jesus knew that why he was tired there. That's why he sat there alone. A woman, lonely woman, comes to the well to draw water. A Samaritan woman. Now she should not have come there at that hour, that way alone. She was from the town of Sychar, and there was water there. Why did she come to the well, which was about half a mile away, alone, with a rope and a bucket? We do not know. We can surmise that she was socially outcast. She was looked down. She was despised. They did not want to be associated with her. They kept her aloof. And she experienced that loneliness, solitude. She felt very small. And she left the society, went to a lonely place to be by herself, at the same time to satisfy her need. See how God works in a person. And as she comes to draw the water, Jesus says, "Woman, give me some water to drink." Now, we all feel thirsty, not only Jesus Christ. And the more water we drink, better it is in this season. But we know thirst of body, thirst of mind. But there is a thirst of soul and spirit. Do we know it? If our thirst is only for material water, to quench our thirst. How are we different from animals? They also drink water. We are human beings. We are the children of God, destined for eternal life. We have yet another thirst, but some of us do not feel that thirst at all. What could be the reason for it? As I am talking to you now, ask yourself, what kind of thirst do you feel? Thirst of the body, definitely you feel. I also. But do we feel the thirst of the soul and spirit? Woman came to the well to draw the material water to quench her thirst. But Jesus was thirsty for something else, spiritual water, not for himself. He was evoking that thirst in her. He was tired, he was fatigued. He was sitting at the well and waiting for her. Look at Jesus Christ. When we look at Jesus Christ, we think, and rightly so, that he is God, risen, he's divine, sinless, prophet, great reformer. True, all this is true. But he is also a human person, human being with flesh and blood, loneliness, struggle, suffering, fatigue, exhaustion, misunderstood. All our human experiences were participated, shared by Jesus Christ. Do we think that way when you look at Jesus Christ? In our struggle and suffering, in our failure and exhaustion, do we relate ourselves to Jesus Christ? He was there, exhausted, sitting. And as the woman comes, he has a breakthrough. I say breakthrough because Samaritan and Jews were traditional enemies. There were two words the Jews would not utter. One is Beelzebul, devil. Another is Samaritan. Further, they would not allow even the shadow of a Samaritan to touch their feet. And when they had to rebuild their temple, when the Samaritan came to assist them, they chased him away. Such was the enmity. And a rabbi would not speak to a woman in public, not even to his mother, not even to his wife, not even to his sister, not even to his grown-up girl. And so much so it is said, bruised Jews, which means there were some rabbis, when they noticed a woman, they would close their eyes and walk and dash their head on something else, and they were wounded. Such was the practice of the rabbi at the time of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was a rabbi, and he was speaking to a woman in a lonely place, and one-to-one, solitary place, and that to a Samaritan woman, a strange woman. Look at Jesus Christ. Look at Jesus Christ. Go to the details. This is the wisdom of God. Our God is merciful. When we have committed a sin, we feel guilty, and sometimes we feel ashamed. Sometimes we feel mistrust. What priest will think? What others will think? If we think that our sin can challenge the mercy of God, then we have neither understood human nature nor divine nature. We should be surprised not by what one does in a condition of sin, but rather by what it does not do in the condition of sin. Because a person demoralized in sin is capable of committing any sin, and he does not want to relate himself, feels lonely. And Jesus knew it. He waits for that woman and initiates the conversation, has a breakthrough. She would not dare to speak to him, but he speaks to her. And very meaningfully, contextual, "Woman, give me some drink." And her answer was, "You, a Jew, and I, a Samaritan, you are asking from me water, a Samaritan?" She was still at the level of water for the body, material water. Jesus was at the level of spiritual water. And they were at parallel. They would not converge. And Jesus says, if only you knew who is asking water from you, instead of giving water, you would ask water, and he would give you the living water. And still she is at the level of natural water. And she says, "Sir, you don't have a bucket. You don't have a rope. And the well is deep." It was about 100 feet deep. "How can you give me water?" And when she hears what she said, she says, please give me some water that I may not come here again. All the time she at the level of natural water. Out what Jesus is asking is spiritual water, wants to give spiritual water. And the conversation continues, as we saw, that Jesus Christ tells her, ask her, go and call your husband. He reaches the resources of her conscience and probes her. And she's honest. She says, sir, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, yes, you don't have a husband. And the five you had, they were not your husbands. Even the one with whom you are living is not your husband. Here, our eyes are open. Immediately, our conversation goes to another direction. We were told that the Messiah would come and all other things. Her flexibility in conversation is too fast. She has no consistency in her talk. But Jesus was very consistent, patient, sympathetic. He reveals to her her own condition and moves her heart. And she not only surrenders herself to Jesus Christ, she becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ, an apostle of Jesus Christ, an evangelist of Jesus Christ, goes to a town, announces about Jesus Christ, and brings the people to Jesus Christ. This is what we call true conversion. First of all, when we commit a sin, we withdraw ourselves. We find ourselves lonely. We don't want to associate, neither with the people nor with God. And we think when we commit sin, of course, we are carefree. When after the committing sins, we feel lonely and do not even associate and say it in the confession. And we think, what will priest think? Now, once she acknowledges Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah, she believes in him, announces his messianic message, and brings the people to him. Season of Lent is the season of repentance. That's our context. We are on the third week of Lent, and we prepare for the Feast of Easter. That's one thing. Second thing is, we are all sinners. If one says, I am not a sinner, he's a liar. That's what the scripture says. Now, we all feel thirst, not only natural thirst because of summer, but also spiritual thirst. As the deer yearns for living water, my soul is yearning for you, O my God. Our soul is constantly yearning. The more spiritual we are, the more we want of God. This is always the truth. On this side of the grave, it is always true. Do we ever experience this thirst? When we experience, do we have the courage and conviction to turn to Jesus Christ, our healer? And when we have received this blessing of healing, do we become the disciples of Jesus Christ? Share the good news that Jesus Christ is a Messiah. He can quench our thirst, even spiritual thirst. In the first reading we heard, the Israelites, as they were passing through the desert, they began to be thirsty. And they complained, murmured against Moses. We could have died there in Egypt, drinking as much water as possible from the river Nile. And you have brought us in the wilderness to die of hunger and thirst. And Moses prays. This is what we heard in the first reading. Praise to the Lord. And Lord commands him, go to such a place, strike your scepter, your stick to the rock. And he did it. And from the rock came water. From the rock came living water. And that water was to quench their thirst. A symbol of the real water Jesus was to give. The Israelites drank the living water of miracle. Material water of a miracle. We are called to drink the spiritual water of the God, not only who gives material water, spiritual water, eternal life. We need to believe in this. If you don't believe, come to the second reading. If while we were sinners, says St. Paul, Jesus did not hesitate to die for us. While we were yet sinners and enemies of God, he did not hesitate to die for us. Now that we are justified, now that we are forgiven, will Jesus condemn us? What is the central argument of all these three lessons? His argument is,
We are all sinners. We need to experience that spiritual thirst. And when we experience that thirst, nobody, absolutely nobody can quench that thirst except Jesus Christ. It's for that he came into the world. And it's that mystery we are now celebrating on the altar. Let's pray to the Lord that he may give us this thirst so that we may go to him and get our spiritual thirst quenched. May this blessing be ours. Amen.